first section of a series of studies on Seventh-day Adventist doctrines. The title is, This We Believe. We will be studying the fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists. Belief in biblical truth is something that has characterized God's people from the very beginning. Bible truth always exists. It deals with God and God's relationship to His creation, to mankind, to fallen mankind, to salvation through Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of God's purposes in the hereafter. God never changes. Bible truth always exists and never changes. Through the years, man discovers truth. Each generation must discover truth. The truth exists before that generation is born. As the generation matures, it discovers this existing truth. It can transfer some of its explanations to succeeding generations, but the next generation must grapple with biblical truth itself and discover that truth for itself. Each individual must realize that the Bible teaches certain truths that reveal to him God, God's purpose, God's relationship to him, his state, and the hereafter. Bible doctrines are Bible teachings. The word doctrine is another way of saying teaching. It comes into our English language through the Latin. A doceo or a doctor is one who teaches. The Bible teaches certain discoverable truths concerning God. Lesson number one, God the Revelator. This is where we begin our study of Bible doctrines. We begin it with God, just exactly the same way as the total narrative, the Holy Scriptures, begins with God. In the beginning, God. The Gospel of John, the beginning was the Word that was God. The letter to the Hebrews, God, who at different times and in various means revealed himself to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his personal relationship with his Son, Enhuio. God is the one who makes himself known, and the final revelation is through the Son. The first lesson of this quarter divides itself up into certain natural divisions: the revelation of God through nature, through Scripture, through Christ, and then as we apply this revelation, we learn through the circumstances of life. Part number one, God the Revelator in and through His creation. This means a revelation is non-verbal. There is no voice, there is no language. That is what the psalmist says. There's neither voice nor language, but we can discern what he is saying. We talk today about body language, facial language. There is a creation language through which God speaks. And everything that man is capable of discovering about God, all that may be known of God, is before men's eyes. And as they ponder God's created things, they discern His eternal power and His deityship. Now notice, these things are revealed by the things that are made. I think it's good sometimes to review what the Bible says God has made. He made the Sabbath. And that reveals something about God that you won't get through His making the galaxy in which this earth is a part. He made marriage, and that is a means of revealing the character of the one who designed it. He made Christ's body, to be the vehicle for the battle of mankind and his triumph. And everything that God has made reveals some aspect of deity and shows to us God's design, the things that he wants us to realize concerning himself. We may look up in the vast creation above us and ask ourselves, who created this? Who made their numbers? That is, their extent and limitation. Who named them? Defined their nature? Nothing fails. He maintains it. He has put no built-in obsolescence. God is the being who designed and made all this. Part number two. God the Revelator in and through the heavens. They declare. We may look into an atom and see God through a microscope. We may look through a telescope and see God writ large across the universe. And there we discern his glory, that which causes us to praise and exalt him. And that which is spread out, the firmament, shows his handiwork, his hands, his personal involvement, manifest in light and energy. And as we discern in the stellar spaces the vastness, we are impressed with the majesty. As we see the mechanics of the galaxies, we discern his power. As we consider, meditate, that his fingers formed all these personally, then we ask ourselves, why could he be interested in a worm like me? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And then that thou visitest him. Mindful, remote, visiting, personal. And so as we contemplate during the night watches when the lights are out the greatness of stellar space, we discern that God thinks about us, the sun and the moon and the stars, the tide and the seasons, and that from distant spaces through his power he visits this earth. Part number three. God is the revealer through his inspired word. We have thought of the wordless revelation in nature. Now we are thinking of the word revelation in inspiration in the Holy Scriptures. One is voiceless, the other is the voice of God speaking to us. God breathed those words. Holy men were the vehicles. Read again the reaction of Daniel. How can I talk to you, he's saying to Gabriel, seeing that there is no breath in me? And it's remarkable that Ellen White, on one occasion, talked for 3.5 hours and didn't breathe at all during the time. And in God's methodology of revelation, this shows to us that he can use the instrument that has yielded to him to convey his message the way he wants that message to reach us. Paul's statement is the essence of his thinking. God's statements in the Scriptures are the essence of his thinking through human words and human figures of speech. First of all, we get to know. Then we apply. And we discover what is the wisdom of God and what builds us up to the final ideal that God has set for us. Part number four, God is the revelator through his word that must be rightly interpreted. In section three, we thought about God's gift of the phraseology, of the thought patterns, of the control, the editorial supervision of the Holy Spirit of the Word of God. Now, this section, we are to emphasize that the Word must be rightly understood. It's no private interpretation. We should bring no subjective concepts into it. But you will say, there are all sorts of options in certain verses that are available to the Bible student from the Word. Except every option that doesn't bring tensions elsewhere in the Bible. Take them all. For example, search the Scriptures. Ye are searching the Scriptures. John 5. Both are used by Ellen White and both are true. Take both. Now, there are some times when one studies the Bible and tries to get its consensus of meaning that one arrives at the point that he could go either slightly to the left or slightly to the right. The liberal chooses the way by which an argument is brought against the Bible. The conservative chooses the way that makes the minimum tensions in the Scriptures. And since at the parting of the way, we have to choose. Why not choose the interpretation that is positive, that fits in with the rest of the Scriptures, and that brings minimal tensions? Part number 5. God is the revelator in His Son. In Hebrews 1:1, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the consummation of His message is, in the authorized version, in His Son. En huio means a personal relationship with. That's the force of this preposition. Through the personal relationship of not His Son, not the Son, but of sonship manifest in Jesus Christ. So if we want to discover God, we study Christ. The New Testament is a revelation of God the Father. We don't see Jesus at all. He says, I have not said one of my words, I have not done one of my deeds. What I see the Father do, what I hear the Father request of me, that I do and that I say. God was in Christ. God was manifest in flesh, in humanity. He was justified in the Spirit. So we have God, we have the flesh of Christ, we have the Spirit. We have the triune deity functioning for the 33 years of Christ's life on earth. We see God working through the ministry of angels. We hear about Him as He is preached to the Gentiles. We see that He is believed on in the world and character is changed. And as we follow the prophecies and the statements of Christ, we know that He has been received into glory. Part number 6. What is our response to this revelation of God? Through His Word, both inanimate and animate, both in creation and in inspiration. This Word of God cuts through all camouflage. It divides the intellectual from the emotional. It goes through the joints and the marrow. The joints are the articulated segments of human life and personality by which one set of events or thoughts are contingent upon and affect another. The marrow is that which supplies the life essence. The Word of God gets right down to fundamentals and basics and divides the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, there's nothing that we can hide from Him. Now, what have we got to do about this? How have we got to respond to this revelation of God? The psalmist invites us to come, to worship, to adore Him, to ascribe goodness and greatness to Him, that we should kneel, submit our wills and thoughts to Him, give ourselves to Him, shape our life's pattern by Him. Listen to His voice today. Don't harden our hearts. And if we have this open, teachable, responding spirit, the loving, all-powerful Holy Spirit will do in our lives more than we can ask or think.